This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host.
It's the absent bird on a bike.
It's the absolutely bird on a bike.
I feel like I haven't been here forever.
Well, it's only a couple of weeks, isn't it?
I missed you. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm amazing.
Fantastic. No, you're always amazing.
Yeah. I'm good.
Good. What have you been up to?
Racing. Oh, let's have a bit of a change racing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been up those hills?
Well, yes, and they did cause pain. I've got an interesting thing we were talking about. So, at the weekend, I had an unfortunate, I wouldn't say accident, but my chain came off. It broke my back part of the bike, and it cost me £270.
Blimey.
Yeah. Anyway, what happened was I was supposed to go racing, and I couldn't go racing on this bike because it's specific for type of racing. But what I did do is I trained the next day, and Stephen put on my computer this one focus thing that I had to do. So I was focusing on power. I know, you look bored.
No, this is really relevant. No, go for it.
So what he did, I see what I mean. See what I mean?
Sorry.
It's just not funny, is it? Anyway, you've missed me, haven't you? Come on.
Yeah, I've missed you. Go on, tell me about it. Tell me about the power. Come on.
So he put on my screen power and time. So certain things, you do this power at this certain time. So big power, 20 minutes, rest for 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And all he went through my mind, because usually you've got about 10 different other instruments to look at, like heart rate, like loads of different things that make a difference. But I had this one focus. That was it. And it sent me into, like, tipping point. I was like, why? Why hasn't he put on all the other stuff? Why have I just got this power? It really was interesting that just one focus made me have a bit of a chatter to myself, went into a little bit of resistance, came out the other side and absolutely loved just focusing on one. I know. See what I mean? You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah,
right? It's true, though, isn't it? So I focused on that one thing, the power. Power will make me faster, which was my outcome. What are you going to say, man?
There's nothing that drives me madder than people that won't focus on things. And then they tell me, yeah, but I'm multitasking.
Yes.
No, it's not humanly possible to multitask. You have to focus on one thing at a time.
But that simple little thing of me focusing made me do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Gave me the outcome I wanted and so much more.
Yeah.
Just by having to be single-minded and focused on one thing. Now, we all know what to do. But it's the action.
Yeah, you got
it. So I had to put it into practice.
Yeah.
But I've got to keep practicing it and practicing it and practicing it and practicing it.
Nothing happens until you take action.
You've got no choice.
You can talk about everything in the world, but until you take action, nothing happens.
So I already hear this. We've talked about this a million gazillion times of, oh, you've got to be single-minded, you've got to focus on one thing in your business, la-di-di-di-di. Yes.
Yeah.
But what if I've got this and I've got this and I've got... Yes. And it really was amazing. So when somebody takes those elements out, deliberately, on purpose, disciplined, wow. So I can transfer that to everything I do now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about focus.
Yeah.
It is all about focus and action.
So you asked me about it, but I felt like, I was like, wow. But I had to go through the process. I had to go through that. A bit of resistance, a bit of talking to myself, a bit of, wow, is this really how it feels?
Yep. No, absolutely. I mean, we'll probably talk to Sue about this kind of thing later on because that's right up her street, I do believe.
Sue's smiling, she's like, yes.
Yeah. Now, she's probably going, oh, what are these two idiots talking about? I'm going to put them straight any minute now. But no, you know, from my point of view, you see it so often, people get all over the place. They scatter gun. You never solve a problem. I spent years and years and years working in tech support. And the thing that you drive you mad, when someone has a problem, they'll try and tell you what the solution is when they don't know.
Mm.
Yeah. So they ring up and they go, my computer don't work. And you go, fine. Okay. Well, the thing is, I've got version 4 and it should be, I don't want to know any of that. Yeah. I just want to know what the symptoms are and then I'll fix it for you. But no, they'll insist on telling you a dozen different things and confusing the issue.
But there's that lovely phrase that if you know better, you do better. And I do agree with that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do know better, but it's so challenging to let go of all those other things and think, just if I focus on this one thing, it will give me this.
Yeah.
Whereas we think, oh my God, I've got to do all of this.
Do you know, I think a lot of it is fear.
Yes.
Yeah, we think, what if I do focus on this and it don't work? Yeah, I've then got no answers.
Yeah.
So we kind of fudge around it. Anyway, we're going to start off the show with some really good news because I've just had a news report, and apparently, all 12 boys and the coach are now out of the caves in Thailand.
Oh my days!
Yeah, so they've rescued all of them.
That's crazy.
What an amazing effort that was. That's focus for you.
Yeah.
That's focus for you.
Focus.
That's focus and action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two of the world's greatest cave divers went there and sorted it out, basically.
Yeah.
But what an amazing effort that is by everybody involved.
Mm.
And sadly for the poor chap that lost his life in the early stages as well.
Mm. Amazing.
But I'm glad they're all safe.
Mm.
Horrible. I can't think of anything worse than potholing and being underwater. I think those two things would just do it for me every time. I'd just give up and curl up in a ball and just give up, I think. But so, that's good.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, fantastic stuff. We've got a packed show today.
What's going on?
We've got some lovely guests that we're going to talk to as the show unfolds. And when they all arrive, Mr. Gaze, who's not here yet, but he is from Rift Accounting and we know what they're like. He's taken over from Nettie on being last minute.
To be fair to Nettie, she's usually here by now.
Yeah, yeah. So he's even later. Yeah.
He's going bigger deep into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, anyway, betide him.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll sort him out when he gets here. Anyway, but I've got a load of recorded interviews that we're going to play today with some of the winners from the Maidstone Business Awards, which happened a couple of weeks ago, and there's some really interesting interviews that are going to take place with that, and some fantastic winners, as they all were. And I'm going to play them in two goes because there's quite a few interviews, so we'll crack on with that in a little minute. But what else you been doing?
What have I been doing?
Yeah,
nothing. I'm focused.
Nothing. That's it. You're
I'm totally focused on
getting your chain fixed.
No, we had Release Your Brilliance. So we had Release Your Brilliance. So that went really well. A women's empowerment event.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
It was amazing. 67 women in a room. And we had the feedback meeting and just the getting together and going, what did we believe? What happened on the day?
Mm.
How did it serve people? How did it not? How do you listen to feedback? How do you not? You know, what do you make of people's perceptions of the day, good and bad?
Mm.
So that was really interesting how then it affects you personally when you've put something on that you believe in and somebody's expectations aren't met.
Mm.
Very interesting. Very interesting. More interesting when they don't even know what their expectations were in the first place. So therefore, how can you meet?
Mm.
And I look at that myself. I go, wow, what are my expectations of this? I don't know. So how do I know if I've met them?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. Really interesting when you put on things and you build a business and then is it a product? Is it commercial? And do the two come together?
Sure.
Very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing.
Cool. Well, good.
Thanks.
Good. And I'm glad it went really well.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. What have you been up to anyway?
Not a lot.
Oh, we've got a great packed show, haven't we, today, everybody?
Yeah, you know me, you know, normal stuff.
Okay, so let's go straight into politics, because we know that loads of things are going on.
Yeah.
What are we going to think about it now? Because there's been a big 24 hours.
Well, for me, all that I've seen demonstrated is a total lack of leadership by any politician in any party in this country. A lot of them haven't got a clue what they're doing.
What do you really feel about it?
We need to reinvent our democracy because it's not fit for purpose anymore.
Yes.
It really isn't fit for purpose anymore. And they're all a bunch of idiots. They just appointed a minister for digital who last tweeted in 2015. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know? Yeah. They're just so far behind the curve. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
I don't think our political establishment have got out of the 20th century yet. And that's the problem.
Yes.
And we've got a complete failure of leadership going on around us.
So we had a big day yesterday.
Mm.
Are we to be in fear? Are we to be in anticipation? How do we feel about this as business owners?
I've no idea what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think the whole thing's a complete and utter fiasco.
So just carry on.
Well,
regardless?
Business will carry on regardless anyway. We don't need politicians in order to do business, and we never have. The fact that they interfere all the time, we just kind of live with that. But we don't need them in order to do business. We'll do business under any circumstances that we have to do business. It's easier or harder, depending on what they do. But the fact is, you won't ever stop because you just adapt to the circumstances that you find yourself
in. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah.
So I know, is this Chris? Can we really go
ahead? This is Chris. Come in, Chris. Come
in, Chris. What time is this, Chris?
Yeah.
This is better than Nettie.
Yeah.
We said we'd give you out when he came in.
Yeah.
He's not going to talk to us now.
No, he's not. He's going to pretend he was here. bird. The time, yeah.
Ignore bird.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to put you a bit on the spot.
Yeah.
It's very easy for us to sit and say, they're idiots, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
They were your words, not mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Why isn't somebody as intelligent and as knowledgeable as yourself in business?
Me?
That's correct, in business, then making a change?
Because I'm a businessman, not a politician.
And so how can we judge, how can we say they're not doing their job when we're not prepared to go into that arena?
I don't think it's being prepared to go into that arena. I think it's horses for courses. My big issue with politicians is that they don't have the leadership skills. Politicians on the whole, are playing the game of politics, yeah? They're not leaders. And for me, leadership is about listening. And what they do is they try to tell. They try to tell you what to do all the time and how to do it, when to do it and why to do it. And that's not leadership. Leadership is about listening to people and putting in place inspirational policies to drive people forward. And we don't do that. That's not what we do at all. They try to micromanage. They try to tell you what to do. They pass regulations that continually fail through unexpected consequences. Classic GDPR. Biggest fiasco of all time. The next one's even worse. Article 13 is just laughable. It's absolutely laughable. And they don't understand what they're doing.
So how can we support them to lead and understand?
My solution is iDemocracy, in exactly the same way it happens in Switzerland, where most things are done by the people, not by the politicians. That's it.
Interesting.
We live in a world where we have the technology now to ask everybody what they think. 100 years ago, we didn't have that, so we had to elect people to tell us what to think because they had access to the knowledge that we lacked. But it's the other way around now. We've got access to the knowledge that they lack, you know, because the knowledge is there and everybody has access to it. Okay, there's loads of fake news and rubbish about there and stuff like that. Of course there is. And most of the experts never agree on anything. Yeah, there's as many experts as there are solutions, but
well, they're self-defined labels, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's my take on it. Anyway,
lovely.
I think the whole thing's a fiasco, and it to me, it's just highlighted the failure of our democratic processes.
So we're not to worry as businesses. I think that's the main.
Funnily enough, I did stand once.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I stood as an independent.
Yeah, yeah.
And our system doesn't allow you to do that effectively.
Not.
I did come second, mate. But there you go. Second's the first of the losers, they say, is it? There you go. Anyway, do you know what we're going to do now?
No.
I'm going to play some winners. I'm going to play some. See how we set that up? It's
You'd
brilliant, isn't it?
You'd think we'd practice this, wouldn't
this,
you?
This show Hours isn't just thrown together, mate. It's produced within an inch of its life. So we're going to hear from some winners from the first group of interviews from the Maidstone Business Award winners 2018. Let's listen to some of this. This is Paul Andrews reporting from the Great Danes Hotel. We're meeting today the winners of the Maidstone Business Awards, and we're going to be talking to some of those winners later on. But I'm now joined by Dominic. Dominic's the General Manager here at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel. Dominic, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Yeah.
Cool. For those that don't know, there aren't many people in Mid-Kent that don't know about the Great Danes. It's been part of the establishment of Kent for a long, long time. But this is a great venue for staging these kind of things, isn't it? We stage the Maidstone Awards here, but you have lots of events. You've got events going on today, in fact.
We have, yeah. We've got, I think, everything that we need to host or anything like these. And we've got 26 acres. The location, I think, right in the centre of Kent is one of the key things that's...
Absolutely. And you're right on the junction of the motorway. There's local Hollingbourne Station here. And you've got lots of car parking, which lots of people haven't got.
Plenty of parking, and if you want to come in your helicopter, we've got space for that as well.
Well, I was thinking of that, but it's out of commission a little bit at the moment because I can't afford the petrol. But yeah, absolutely. Next time I'll bring the chopper with me. So you stage loads of different types of events here as well, because you've got the Heart of Kent suite, and then you've got smaller suites around it.
Yes, anything at the moment. We're in the middle of the prom season, so we do a lot of proms for different schools. Had a very exciting jungle-themed event recently.
Wow.
Boxing nights, we look after boxing nights. We have 300 black tie dinner type events, and of course the events and conferences, like the Maidstone Business Awards as well. So
absolutely, and you do have a lot of them here, don't you? It's very rare that I come here where there isn't something on.
Always something going on, that's what makes the job so exciting, yes.
Absolutely. And weddings, of course.
Weddings, yes. We host many weddings. We've got the gazebo. We're licensed for civil and partners weddings. So, yeah, all good.
Okay. So, do you have any plans where the hotel's going in terms of growth or anything like that?
We do. Yeah, we've just invested, I think, just under £250,000 on the brasserie. That's just been refurbished and nicely designed in a sort of Kentish theme, actually, taking inspiration from some of the local things that are going on in the area.
I saw all the new furniture in there, all the comfy sofas. That's a good move. I like that.
It's lovely. It looks out onto the grounds and gets the afternoon sun.
I know where to sneak in for a quick lay down when I'm, you know, suffering from a bit of tiredness.
Paul, you're always welcome. I get the kettle on.
Cool. Dominic, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out about your hotel, do you have a web with Jackie Offen? Jackie's from JJ Systems. And JJ Systems were the headline sponsor for the Maidstone Business Awards. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Afternoon, Paul.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. You're looking well. It's lovely to see you again.
Yeah, and you too. Been a little while.
Yeah. Now, you've been very active in supporting these awards, haven't you?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. What made you as a business decide to do that?
Essentially, it was because of the marketing value to us.
Yeah, sure.
But, inevitably, I've really enjoyed doing the judging for all each year when we've done it. It's been really good fun.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because you do some things, as you say, I mean, the obvious thing is for the marketing and the rest of it. Otherwise, why would you do it? But then you kind of get dragged into the whole thing of it, don't you? And it does become fun. And I've done the judging in the past as well.
It's really hard work and actually quite complicated when you get down to it, when you're looking and reading.
And it's difficult as well, isn't it? I know judges always say, oh, you know, it was really hard to find a winner and stuff. But it actually is.
Yeah, it actually is really difficult. And there's a lot of things you can draw on. So after 20 years in business, I can look at all of the applications and consider them all. It's really, but it's fun overall.
Good. Well, without people like you supporting things like this, they wouldn't happen. So a big thank you to you and JJ Systems for supporting what goes on with these business awards. Tell us a little bit about JJ Systems for those that don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We're a full-service managed IT company, so we offer IT services to small businesses across Kent and the South East, dealing with anything from a mailbox up to multi-site, multi-server installations, pretty much anything in the middle.
Bit of GDPR thrown in at the moment.
Oh, I love a bit of GDPR. It's one of my favourite topics.
Yeah, I bet it is, yeah. What a nightmare that's been.
It's been quite a lot of fun. I had a whole week on a course in London on holiday, as it were. It's been great.
Good. And are people starting to come to you now and panic about GDPR?
There was a lot of panic before the 25th of May, and then when they realised that actually the world wasn't going to cave in, it's calmed down a little bit. But we run workshops for our clients, explaining and giving them a lot of information and help, particularly obviously with IT security, but advice as well on all the other aspects.
I was going to mention that because I know that JJ are very big in cyber security, which is a massive issue these days.
It is a massive issue. Yeah, we run free training courses for all our clients as well. So when they're on a contract, they can send all their staff to us. It works very well.
Cool. Good. Now, joined
Jackie,
by Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Cool. Now, tell us what you won.
So I won Businesswoman of the Year, Kent Maidstone Region.
Kent Maidstone, Businesswoman of the Year. What's your business, Sam?
My business is Children Inspired by Yoga, which is a yoga franchise for children. And I guess there's two parts of the business. There's the helping mums back into work through a mentoring scheme. Really, most of the people who work in the network, they're parents, and they want to work flexibly around their children. And they deliver yoga-inspired classes for babies and children 0 to 7 up and down the country. And also we have some international franchises too.
Fantastic. So you're doing yoga for toddlers, basically?
Yeah, we started 14 years ago, and then it was a kind of really weird thing that we were doing. People were really suspicious, and now obviously yoga has been acknowledged widely as being excellent for children's mental and physical health.
Fantastic. And how do the children cope with it? I mean, I'm not a great yoga aficionado myself, as you can probably tell by looking at me, but, you know.
About working with young children is the most important thing is to engage them, and we use a multi-sensory approach, using music, movement, and storytelling, based around a character. So the character's called Tatty Bumpkin, and her mission is to make children bendy through yoga, giggly through creative storytelling, clever through curriculum links, and strong through mindfulness and relaxation. So it's very child-led, and essentially we use lots of different tools to engage the children, and we use simple yoga postures to stretch out the whole body and restore vitality and health.
That's fabulous. I really love that. It sounds really good. So, talking about what you do from a business point of view, how long have you been in business?
14 years.
Wow, okay. What do you think it was that caused you to get the recognition that you have after 14 years?
I think the thing is with this kind of business is that I've had to be really flexible over the years. Mm. So it's taken many turns and twists, and there's been lots of ways that I've had to adapt to the current market conditions. And I think that was recognised as pure resilience and, you know, the flexibility of that sort of aspect of it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's crucially important, isn't it, that you adapt and be flexible. But so many people can be quite rigid when they start a business, and there's loads of aphorisms about bending in the wind and stuff like that. But it's true, isn't it, that you need to be resilient and you need to be somewhat fluid and flexible in order to survive.
Well, absolutely, especially when you're a small business. Mm. And that's one of the strengths of being a small business, is that you do have that flexibility to adapt quickly to the market conditions. And we've definitely done that to great effect, I think, because it hasn't always been easy. We've been through two recessions.
Yeah.
And our market is, you know, it's people are buying a lifestyle. It's not just they're buying a product. Yeah. They're literally buying a change in life. So it's a big commitment. And, you know, it really has to be the right person at the right time, because we're a partnership. We have a long, ongoing partnership with our franchisees, and if we don't get that right from the beginning, then it's worse than not having a franchise at all.
It must be fairly difficult as well, because you kind of have two clients in every client, if you see what I mean. You've got a parent and a child, and a parent might be committed to it, but the child might kind of be shying away from it.
Okay, so that's a really good point. Last year, it was originally the brand was very child-centric, Tatty Bumpkin, you know, it was very playful. And then last year, when yoga became more mainstream and we became more confident in our offering, we changed the company to be called Children Inspired by Yoga, a kind of umbrella name with sub-brands. Mm. And that was really a good decision, because in terms of now we're directing the name squarely at the parents, yeah. It's Children and Yoga, but underneath it, the program is really child-led, still with Tatty Bumpkin, can still with the creativity and the storytelling. So you're catering for two markets, exactly as you say. Yeah. But the children don't hold the credit cards, so you first have to engage the parents.
Exactly.
But then you have to keep the children engaged. So yeah. That is a very particular challenge to our sector, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, many congratulations, Sam. Very well deserved. If people want to find out more about what you do and your business, how can they do that?
So our website's childreninspiredbyyoga.com. And we can help you, put you in the direction.
Hi, Carrie, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, long time no see.
Yep, very long, just over a week.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true, that's true. I was kind of thinking more in a past life.
Yeah, back in the past.
Yeah, cool. So, Carrie, what category did you win?
Hospitality.
Fantastic.
Yes,
and you're with The Orchard, aren't you?
Yes, I am very proud to be.
Tell us a little bit about The Orchard.
Okay, so The Orchard was quite a well-known pub for quite some time, and the business owner made a very brave decision to kind of cut the pub side off and move into just specifically private events and weddings, and the business is just booming. It was a very brave decision, but it's absolutely paid off. So within the last 3 months, we've just seen us grow from strength to strength, and we're doing in excess of 100 weddings a year at the moment. So
100?
Over 100, yeah.
Wow. And where is The Orchard?
It's in Bearsted.
So that used to be called The Orchard Spot.
It did, indeed.
I used to go there when it was a pub.
Oh, I heard all about that. You were the reason that we changed it from the pub.
I know.
I've heard all about them and the tribute. No, it's not. It's not like that anymore. It's
no, apparently.
No more tribute nights, not at weddings.
Cool. So how long is it since that change happened, from moving from a pub to a venue?
So, I mean, really, it's kind of just been just over 2 years, coming up to 3 years, because it was a little bit of a transitional stage when they were going through the refurbishment. But if you came back now, you wouldn't recognise.
I was going to say, I'm sure it's a completely different place to the last time I was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's stunning. There's two different sides of the venue. There's the Oak Rooms is now real kind of home from home, like quite glitzy, lots of sofas, like really nice social atmosphere. Mm. And then the Orchard Suite is just perfect. We've got a beautiful sunken dance floor, lovely water terrace outside, and it's great because you go all the way down the end of Spot Lane, and you just would have no idea that at the end of it there's that countryside haven. You're literally looking out into countryside hills
over the River Lenn. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, I just know there's a lake nearby. It makes for beautiful wedding photos.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I grew up around there, and when I was a kid, we used to swim in a river in front of the pub. So. You've converted into this fantastic venue. You're staging 100 weddings a year. What other kind of events do you do there?
So, really, anything from celebration of life, christenings, birthday parties. So, it's a great venue to kind of do a little bit of of anything, because we do have that split as well, so we can do anything from 30 guests to up to 250.
Right, okay.
And in terms of specifically for weddings, we've just got some of the most phenomenal packages around. Some of them include your photographer, and they are, it's not me at the back of the aisle with my iPhone, it is a proper photographer, right. Vintage bridal car, wedding cake, like a designer wedding cake. We had a Beauty and the Beast wedding cake a couple of weeks ago, and it was fab. So yeah, they're really good packages, and it just takes care of everything, and they're really competitively priced, because we don't believe that luxury items need to cost you the earth. Weddings are incredibly expensive, and you've got a lot of other things to spend day by day, so we just want you to have a really good day and not have to be bankrupt for it.
Fantastic. Absolutely. And with a venue that can cater for up to 250 people, you're really hitting the spot. I've staged loads of events in Kent, and my partner Amanda is an event manager, and it's really difficult finding space that's nice quality space that can handle that amount of people. So that's fantastic.
Thank you very much. We think so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to visiting again and seeing the change, and I will visit to have a look at it. So many congratulations on winning Hospitality Business of the Year. Very well deserved. If people want to find out about the Orchard, how can they do that?
So they can Google the Orchard Suite in Maidstone in Bearsted, and you can also find us on Facebook. There's lots of videos and lots of pictures, and we'll get in contact with you and book you in an appointment.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed. Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 10th of July, that was the first group of interviews from the winners of the Maidstone Business Awards. We've got another group to hear from later in this part of the show. But we've also got an exciting guest to talk to here in the studio. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Sue Tappenden. Hello, Sue.
Hello there, Paul.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Cool. Well, lovely to see you.
Thank you.
If I can get you to come a little bit closer to the mic, or move the mic to you, or you get closer to the mic, or
better.
A bit of both. Yeah, that's better. Thank
good.
You. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a little bit about you and what it is you do?
Okay, cool. Thank you. So I guess I would describe myself as a probably slightly non-standard business and executive coach.
Okay.
I'm really interested in one of those fabulous business owners and business leaders out there who are running their own business or working in a senior position. And they often spend a lot of their time worrying about everyone else who relies on them for support.
Yep.
And my interest is really in who's supporting them. And it was really helpful for Bird to talk about the actions and the multitasking and all of the stuff that she was mentioning this morning, because I see so many business leaders who are spinning so many plates at work. So in any one day, they can be, you know, thinking about a strategy for their business. They can be talking to customers, dealing with their employees, their suppliers, whoever, marketing, finance, you know, all of those things that it kind of takes to run a business on a daily basis. So that's all going on in their kind of work life, as it were. And then kind of in parallel, there's their proper life, and stuff goes on there as well. So that can be, you know, to do with their own relationships, their kids, they're teenagers who I think need a separate category to kids in my experience. Friends, neighbours, parents. parents, you know, elderly parents maybe. So all that stuff that just goes on. And the common denominator with all of it is the kind of human leader. And all of this stuff goes on around them. And sometimes it's possible to compartmentalize that into kind of work or life. But I think that's a kind of short-term option. And dealing with some of the problems and the issues kind of needs to happen at some point, and how a leader's doing that. And I think what's slightly different to the way that I operate as a coach is I'm not about, you know, setting a whole load of goals and accountability and stuff like that, because if people are already feeling overwhelmed by all of the plates that they're having to spin, just adding in more can actually add to the overwhelm and get people closer to the tipping point.
Would it be true to say that the syndrome that you've just described very eloquently affects small and medium-sized business owners more than anybody because they don't have a support network around them?
I think that's true. I think often the networking events and things that, you know, there's so much of it about for small business owners, which is brilliant. And I think there's a lot of resources around that will support people with running their business and will support people with kind of running their life. And it's kind of how do you bring it all together? Because at the end of the day, it's about performance and productivity if you put this into a kind of work and business context. And I guess, you know, we all know about burnout and the statistics around stress and anxiety. And the reality is if you're in a place of stress and anxiety, you're dealing with a lot of adrenaline, which I'm sure Bird knows from the kind of exercise, you know, all of that stuff. And you can't always think straight. You can't be your best creative kind of happening, doing self at work. And that will ultimately affect the way that you're running your business.
Absolutely. I mean, from my own point of view, I quite often get into a situation where I'm almost overwhelmed trying to think about what I'm overwhelmed by.
Exactly. I think exactly that. And I think when Bird was saying about taking action, you know, the way that you begin to sort some of this stuff out is to take action and address it. So, you know, that might be financial problems. You know, I'm not an accountant. I think I'm sitting next to one. I'm not going to be giving you financial advice. The work that we would be doing is kind of, why aren't you taking that step? Or actually, if you've got a problem with an employee and actually you need to get into their performance. I mean, my background is actually in HR and OD. Right. Many years ago.
That's organisational development rather than...
Sorry, acronyms. Yeah, but so I can have a very meaningful conversation about what you might do, but, you know, you need to go and talk to your employment lawyer or whatever and get your specialist advice.
Yeah.
So I guess my, you know, my position in all of this is I talk a lot about encouraging people to lean back. There's a lot of rhetoric, particularly with women in senior positions, about leaning in. Brené Brown talks about kind of leaning into the discomfort. And I think all of those things have their place. My perspective is lean back, because if you lean back and you let go of some of the kind of grip on stuff, you can begin to see it. And my role as coach is then about different perspectives, challenging the way that you're thinking.
I'm really interested in what you just said.
Okay.
When I had a proper job many years ago, and I had a senior corporate job, back then there were a few female executives. I worked for an investment bank. There were a few female executives there, and on the whole, I thought they were more macho than the men. They seemed to believe, and it wasn't their failing, it was part of the culture, but they had to be almost as more aggressive than the men in order to survive. And this leaning in, I think, for both men and women, is part of the problem. Because the reality is you don't need to be aggressive, and you don't need, you actually, if you're more chilled about things, it actually works better.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of conversation and again, you know, rhetoric going on around the value of softer skills, the value of emotional intelligence in business and organisations, and trying to get, you know, men and women alike to actually acknowledge some of that stuff and be able to get more skilled. And I think we don't want to go down the AI conversation, but, you know, some of the things that computers won't be able to do is some of the human interaction.
Absolutely.
The soft skill
Absolutely.
Stuff.
I know you didn't want to go there, but it is another thing that yeah. That I'm passionate about. Everybody gets het up about technology and the fact that we're all going to be taken over by robots and yada, 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 and everybody's never going to have a job again and da, da, da. The thing is, I'm really old. I mean, like, really, really old. And I was in the first phalanx of this. I worked in computers back at the start of the 1970s. And people were saying exactly the same then. And it turned out to be the biggest pile of poo you've ever heard in your life. We have more people in work now than we've ever had in history. And we have more people working in computing that worked than actually worked in the coal mines, the ship industry, and the car building industry combined. So... And I see that pattern continuing, but it's the nature of the work Absolutely. That changes.
And I think some of the jobs that our kids will be doing, you don't even exist at the moment. So there's massive, massive change.
I've got a lovely statistic about that. Do you know that 61% of students currently at school will end up doing a job that hasn't been invented yet?
Yeah, how amazing is that?
That's brilliant,
isn't
it?
That's an amazing generational thing, isn't it? I don't think... But can I just say one other thing? The other thing that I'm on a bit of a mission about is something that I'm calling kind of leadership supervision. I know, and we were talking about support networks and kind of where people get their support. And often people go, oh, you know, I've got an amazing network of friends. I've got a fantastic supportive partner. And that's all brilliant. But actually, very often those people can either be people who are causing you some of the overwhelm, even if they're not meaning to. And also, they're often invested in the outcome and your decision making. So if somebody, a small business owner, was thinking, do you know what? I just don't know that I want to carry on doing this anymore. And actually, you've got maybe kids saying, in private school, you've got a mortgage, you've got all of this stuff, having that conversation with your partner where they're suddenly going to be thinking, oh my God, are you really meaning we're going to jack all this in? Where's the income? You know, they're not necessarily going to be able to be objective.
It's not going to be an objective decision.
Exactly. Yeah, and so it's not to say they're not, you know, absolutely part of your support network, but actually where are you getting the objective support where you can just put your head on the desk and, you know, kind of cry if that's what you need to do for half an hour without anyone judging you, anyone worrying that you're vulnerable or having a breakdown or whatever. And this is the kind of, I'm calling it almost like a strategic approach to well-being that I think leaders need to, you know, business owners need to look to themselves. Often they're fantastic about their own well-being strategy if they are employing people, having access to counselling services for their employees, but actually what are they really, really doing for themselves? And that's where I come in terms of my work.
Do you think that part of what you do, a big part of what you do, is just to allow people to express their own thoughts safely?
Absolutely. It's riffing and reflecting. I think people find me quite challenging to work with in a supportive way. My intention is always about support, but actually working with somebody who will actually keep asking you those questions, you know, why do you think that? What have you done about that? Why haven't you done it? Can see the stuff that you're talking about without any investment, without, you know, but with huge amounts of empathy and support and actually, you know, training and expertise and experience. I mean, you know, I've been a senior leader. I run a business. I've been involved with a family business. You know, I've a lot of stuff's gone on in my life. So I do recognize some of these things for people aside from all of my, you know, my training and experience that's gone before. So, yeah.
I think for me, while you were explaining what you do there, the light bulb that really went on was that quite a few of us in business have supporters of one kind or another, be they family, friends or professionals.
Yeah.
But every single one of them has a vested interest in whatever their role is in this. So you're not always getting totally impartial advice.
No.
And I think that is crucial. And I think we kind of even know that. Which is why when people tell us, you know, or don't want to do that, or you ought to do it like that, we go, yeah, you would say that, wouldn't you? And that just adds to the overwhelm.
Absolutely. I think my business is Headspace for Change for a reason. It's about actually, I believe that most people know the right answer for themselves. What we rarely get is the capacity and the space to just reflect, just riff, just be able to work through the things that keep us awake at night, but in a way and with time where you can't hear the emails dropping into the box. You're not looking at your Facebook. You're not thinking about what's for dinner tonight. You've got actually nothing else to think about, or actually to give your brain a rest so that you're not thinking about anything for a while. And, you know, I think everyone needs something slightly differently at different times. I've worked a lot in health services and statutory services before, and, you know, they have this notion of clinical supervision where they have almost like a a touch point for clinicians every month, every 6 weeks, where they hook up with somebody who's experienced and kind of expert, just to be able to reflect on the work that they've been doing, you know, as a doctor or nurse, whatever. And it has its place, and there's a reason for doing it. And what I would like to see is more business owners, as a business expense and a business cost, really taking a grip on their own well-being, their own resilience, and having this kind of touch point. You know, it may be weekly at times because it's really a difficult time for them. It may be once every month, once every 6 weeks. But, you know, it's really changing the way that people are thinking about their own support. It's not just business networks. It's real personal, holistic, integrated support that sits within a business context so they can run their businesses better.
Absolutely. I loved what you said. And again, it struck a note with me, is that people actually know the answers to their own problems. Totally. Isn't that weird?
Of course we do.
Isn't that weird how we spend so much of our life trying to avoid what we know we really want because we probably think we shouldn't really want it, if you see what I mean?
Well, the shoulds and the oughts come from all sorts of different places. You know, you start to get instilled with that I should be enjoying my business, or I should be earning lots of money, or I should be this, I should be that. And actually, sometimes just having time to sit back and reflect really on what your own values are, what your own desires, that in itself is enough to make people feel a lot better because they have a different direction of travel.
That's really fascinating for me personally as well, because so many people, advisors, coaches, consultants, people come to me and go, you really ought to be building a bigger business than you've got, you know, because you've done all of this and you ought to be going to the next level. You ought to be looking at your next, you know, your first billion. I go, I don't want to. And they go, no, but you really should, right? But I don't want to. And they then are completely stumped because they go, but that's what you should do. But I don't want to.
Exactly.
It's not what I want to do.
No, exactly that. And I think, you know, you have maybe come to that conclusion because you kind of know yourself. You've got had the time or the, you know, the insight or the input with people to
I'm just
be able
too old
to
and knackered, basically, is what it is. Well, I can't be bothered anymore.
No. I think, but a lot of people just don't have the opportunity, and they're just on this treadmill, you know, with a lot of material need, with a lot, because actually the success is shaped in a particular way that they've always been told, or they've believed it was shaped. And actually success for some people can be very little. And it's finding, you know, your place in that, actually, but it needs reflection, it needs time, it needs challenge sometimes. And I think for, you know, business people to be able to recognise the impact on their resilience and their ability to do their jobs and run their businesses better, that's the key. And
you're absolutely right. And I think there's also a myriad ways to be successful. You know, it's not about, you know, a single track evolutionary process to get to a result.
And it changes, doesn't it? You know, at different stages in people's lives, success and what they want for themselves. You know, I think this work-life balance thing can be a bit of a pressure for people. I'm not about judging what people do, whether they're, you know, working parents or stay at, you know, they've got nannies or they've got no kids at all, or they, you know, want 10. I'm not
boarding
judging
school.
People's... Exactly, whatever.
That's the thing. Boarding school,
judging.
That's the best answer to everything. You don't get teenager
judging,
problems or anything.
Get someone else to deal with them. I'm not judging people's decisions. I guess my role in all of this is really helping them to take a look at those decisions, why they're making them, you know, what their instincts may be, finding time to really understand more about themselves, separating themselves out from all the noise that they hear on the media, you know, in the press, from their parents, historically teachers, their partners, you know, everything. And, you know, the other kind of mantra that I have is that we have one precious life. You know, if you suddenly sit in every day, you're doing something really miserable that's making you feel, you know, everyone feels down on some days. But actually, if that's a constant theme for you, what are you doing about it? What action can you take to make it feel better? And those changes may not be massive, but actually, until you can sit down and really work out what they are, how do you know?
Do you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think even just stopping and and thinking about, am I happy?
Absolutely.
Am I happy with what's going on here? It is the starting point to trying to come to terms with what it is you're trying to do.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, what makes some people happy won't make other people happy.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, there's a lot for me on, I often drop things onto my Facebook page. And, you know, how do you mitigate some of this stuff as well? So I was having a conversation with someone the other day about, you know, if you are busy and you're running a business, for example, getting to school parents' evenings, you know, as a parent, that can become a real important, and you can often end up with a choice. Do you go or do you not go? But actually, there's ways that you can mitigate some of this stuff in terms of, you know, having conversations with your other half who may be able to go, so that you're demonstrating your interest, having conversations with your kids that actually, I can't make parents' evening, but I've had a conversation, you know, tell me afterwards. You know, you can kind of be quite active and take action to mitigate some of the things that can be stressful when you're trying to fit everything in. Be all things to all people all of the time. So I talk in my sessions with people about all sorts of things. You know, it's really interesting what actually can become so stressful for people. And it's finding ways of integrating it all. You know, it's one person that's dealing with all this stuff, and it's, say, the compartmentalizing of it can be a relief sometimes. You know, I'm going to work, I haven't got to think about my parents going into a care home, but the reality is it still sits there. You know, it and where do you find time to talk about that?
Absolutely.
Yes,
it is. But you know, you're absolutely right. Your entire analysis is absolutely correct. It's a huge issue. I would say the vast majority, probably 90% of people in business, have those kind of issues to deal with.
Absolutely. Well, it's life, isn't it? You know, it's it's just being alive, and and you know, everyone, whatever your kind of personal circumstances, you know, we all have a broad aspect of issues in our life, and sometimes it all trolls along completely, you know, manageably. You know, I'm not in any way suggesting that everyone's lives are really difficult and really, you know, unhappy. But I still do believe that there is this place of this kind of strategic approach where you can just take time out away from the everyday stuff to just take a look at some of those problems, you know, and how you might address them, whether it's future planning or, you know, or the now, whatever it is.
Cool. So thank you so much
for that.
It's a really fascinating look at the work that you do.
Thank you.
And the incredibly important work that you do, because you are absolutely right. And more than ever, technology adds to that, you know, with your phone going off all day and all night, and emails and WhatsApp and text messages, all adding grist to the mill.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely right. Listen, if people want to find out more about Headspace, how do they do that?
So I have a website, which is, put me on the spot, www.headspaceforchange.com. And there's a little contact page on there, so they can send me an email. I have a Facebook page, which surprisingly is Headspace for Change. So again, message me on the Facebook page. I have a blog. I'm always riffing about various things that annoy me, or on my Facebook page. So yeah, just get in touch. I'm always happy to talk to people about their own situation. I love speaking, you know, to groups about it. Just, yeah, get in touch.
Cool. So thank you so much. Really fascinating to hear about the work that you do, and all power to you. Thank you for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show, but for the moment, Sue Tappenden of Headspace for Change, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. We've got dozens of tweets. I'm going to have to read a couple. AM Marketing. Paul, could you give us a shout out? We've got a Google event tonight at Fruitworks. And it will be fab. There's only 5 tickets left, so do go
along.
Are
you going?
I'm going, actually.
Are you?
I am going, yeah.
I'm on that. Should I shout out?
Yeah, it's a Google meetup in conjunction with, a live stream.
I had Amy McManus on my show last week.
You did, yeah. She's full of
on
beans,
the conversation,
isn't she?
On Wednesday at 1 till 2.
Oh, is that when your show is? I didn't know that.
Drop it in.
1 till 2 on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Good conversation with Bird.
Yep.
And you had Amy McManus last week.
Indeed, it was awesome.
And you can catch it up on the Listen Again.
Or my website, or on SoundCloud, or on iTunes, or on Stitcher, or on... Shall I carry on?
No, this has been a party political broadcast on behalf of the Berg Conversation Party.
Don't you think I should go into politics? Would love it.
Yeah, you'd be brilliant, wouldn't you?
I'd love it. Anyway.
Cool.
Stu, I just want to say, because I often interject, but I didn't want to because it was flowing so beautifully. You see, that's what I believe well-being and health to be. Everybody, I got called a fitness addict. Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. But actually, that's just a tiny part of everything. And it's those habits and those ability to be able to action something. Absolutely. So I loved it. I loved it. That's well-being to me.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah.
Peak performance. That's peak performance. That's being an athlete of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, oh, cool. I like that. Athlete of life. I've written that down.
You can add
do feel free to steal. Yeah, you steal a meme.
You know what? Yeah. You know what Picasso said, don't you? He said, "Good people copy, great people steal."
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you steal away, Sue.
I stole someone. I stole someone's joke on Twitter the other day, which just made me laugh. Everybody will hate me for this, but I just thought it was hilarious.
Can you tell it now?
Yeah, yeah. A guy posted on Twitter. He said, "A friend of mine has got two tickets for the World Cup semi-final." But unfortunately, he's getting married that day, so he can't go. So if anybody would like to go in his place, it's at St. Michael's Church in Cambridge, and the bride's name is Sarah.
I love that. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics.
We haven't heard much from him.
No,
right?
No.
Where's he been?
Yeah, well, he started his own radio station, hasn't he?
He has, yes.
Yeah, Sound of Spitfire.
That's right.
Anyway,
we're on it.
Yeah. He said, "Hi, Paul. Please give Business Punk a shout-out for bcstack.info. Only 3 days left to get great products, including 3 hours of lean power with me." So do check that out.
What is lean power, Chris?
I have no idea. You'll have to find
Chris,
out.
Ring us up.
Yeah, yeah.
Ring us up and tell us what it is. Here, I want to just say a tweet.
Yep.
Because I like this. So it says, "You know I love an old-fashioned Business Bunker shout-out."
Yeah.
And that's from Kimberly Stevens. She says, "It cheers up my day, thank you." And that's hashtag bring it home. There you go, Kimberly. So I love that.
I've been that's looking, Karen Kent, yeah.
I lost it and then I found it again.
Oh, well
so
done.
So cool. There you go, Kimberly.
We're going to do one more and then we're going to hear some more interviews from the Maidstone Award winners. And I've had a tweet here from A21 Connect. "Hi, Paul. Looking forward to the Business Bunker show today. We have a networking group ready for some new contacts who want to make great business connections. We meet on Fridays, 9:30 near Tunbridge Wells. And they say, add a bit of fizz to your networking with A21 Connect. Friday the 13th of July, unlucky for some, 9:30 a.m. at a Mercure Hotel, Pembury."
How did you know it was A21 and not A21?
Because A21 is the name of the road that Pembury's
just,
on.
I'm just asking. And no, I wouldn't just, have known.
That was just a process of elimination. That if you're going to hold something on a road in Kent and it happens to be the A21 and you've used that, I would. I would have gone with it. You know, it's like if somebody put M20, I wouldn't have thought, do you know what, I bet they mean M20.
Oh, hold on a minute. I'm going to hold a networking thing now on the B2068.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't start say B2068, would you?
Yeah, you could start a whole trend, couldn't you? It's the A21, love.
Well, the B2068 isn't the B2068, is it?
But I don't know where the B0268 is, so I can't come to your meeting. Sorry, bud.
It's Canterbury, Stone Street.
Oh, is it? Right,
you
thank
go.
You. Cool. Anyway, let's play some more interviews from the award winner, shall we? With me now, I have Nash and Amy. Hi, fellas.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Good to see you. You're with High Elevation. I knew that because it's written on his shirt.
Always a giveaway.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which category did you win, guys?
We won customer service.
And become runners-up in small business.
Two.
Mm.
Two awards, fantastic. I love the fact that you won Customer Service Award.
So right.
For me, the Customer Service Award is always a great recogniser of a business because it's about your customers and all businesses are about customers. You must be very pleased with that.
Yeah, really, really pleased.
Oh, we're over the moon. We're still smiling. All the hard work we put into it's been recognised and we just can't thank everybody enough. I know it's a hard category to win and I couldn't thank my staff enough, but everyone's got recognised for it.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about High Elevation. What do you do? How do you do it?
We like to give people their independence back, and we do that with a fantastic range of stair lifts.
Okay.
So as everyone's getting a bit more older and technology's changing.
What's it looking at me?
You've still got a few years left. But, yeah, we can adapt a lot of stair lifts now to fit on sort of the most narrowest of stairs, the most twistiest of stairs, even outdoor stair lifts.
Wow,
so
okay.
We can give people their home house back now. Right. A lot of people don't want to move out. They've got good neighbours. And the trend I've seen over the last sort of 18 years especially is where people wanted to move out to a bungalow to the seaside, now they don't want to leave their neighbours and their memories. So if you think of these people, they rely on their neighbours to look after them.
Absolutely.
You know, and you don't get that when you move away. So by having a little tool on the stairs, and what I normally say to people is it's like people use dishwashers or washing machines. A stair lift's there, one, to make your life easier, but for me also to make your life safer.
Fantastic. So you install stairlift systems and lifting systems. And I was interested in that you said you could put them on the outside of a house. Yeah. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, outside. So if you've got stairs going down to the garden or stairs going up to the house, we can do straight ones and curved ones.
Right.
And some of the jobs we've just been involved in this year is enabled people to get out of the house for the first time in sort of like 8 to 9 months.
Right, okay. Oh, that's fantastic. And you don't manufacture stairlifts yourselves?
No, we're in a unique position of leading agents for all manufacturers.
Right, okay.
So the way we look at every application is the best stairlift for the individual user, and so we can tick all the boxes.
Okay. So you won Customer Service Award, and you were runner-up in?
Small Business.
Small Business, okay. What do you think it was that really tipped it for you with your customer award?
We all value our customers as if they're a member of our family, and that really shines across the whole of our staff.
Mm.
So from initial inquiry, we're treating that as if it's a family member, a nan, a grandparent.
Yeah, so you don't become a customer of ours, you become an extended family of ours.
Right.
And so we will treat you like we do with our own parents, our grandparents, the same kind of dignity, the same kind of respect. People forget we're living in a fast-paced world now, but it just takes a few minutes to listen. Because some of these people haven't spoken to people for days, and you just forget this. And I know it's rolling back the clock to the basics, but it means a lot to them. And it's nice for us because we get to hear what they've been up to, the stories that they've lived, what they've done as well in their life. It's fantastic.
I celebrate that with you completely, Nash. You're absolutely right. Treating people as humans and spending time with people makes such a big difference. And I got that passion from just hearing you speak about this and talking about, you didn't talk about the stairlifts, you talk about the effect that it has on the people. In terms of their mobility and their ability to get out and their ability to stay close to family and friends. And I love that. And that makes it obvious why you won that award. Congratulations to you and your company. If people want to find out about Higher Elevation, how can they do that?
So we've got our website, higherelevation.co.uk, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. And they can find us there as well.
We're now with Shelley and Steve.
Fantastic. Hello.
Hello.
Good to see you. So which category did you win?
We won the Creative Digital Award.
Creative Digital Award. Fantastic. So, Creative Digital is something that I'm really fascinated by. I'm actually Deputy Chairman of the Creative and Digital Guild in Kent because I run some digital and creative businesses of my own. So it's an award and a category that is of great interest to me. So tell us about your business, what you do, because I'm pretty sure you're pretty innovative, aren't you?
Yeah, I think fundamentally we've built a platform, a video marketing tool that really empowers small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, we're focused on Kent and helping small businesses in Kent ready to take the platform global. But it really helps you punch above your weight in terms of creating stunning video content,
mm-hmm.
And then deploying that across all the social channels that actually would be akin to creating something like a John Lewis ad or a Costa Coffee ad. But you can do this all on the platform very easily.
Fantastic. So I just want to quantify this so that people don't get confused, because there are lots of people out there offering to help make corporate videos for you, but that's not what you do at all, is it? You have a platform where you can create really good quality content, as Steve said.
Correct, yes. So this is just a website platform that anybody can visit.
Right.
And it empowers the individual user to create exactly what they want. There's no lost in translation between yourself and outsourcing it to somebody.
Right.
It's literally in the hands of yourself to make your own branded videos for whatever purpose, marketing, promotional, that you choose.
Okay, so being a bare little brain, step me through it. How does it work?
Okay, so let's think about an advert that you might want to create for brand awareness.
Yep.
And you might think, well, you've got a business, let's say it's a hairdressing business. Now you go on to VidBuild and you have access to millions and millions of video clips that you can browse and choose from. And you literally select a clip, then it automatically adds it onto a timeline. You can then choose some music, you add your text, you add your brand logo, you select the length of the video, and you click build, and it goes up into the cloud and comes back down again from the cloud in a couple of seconds, and you're ready to post and share your advert.
Fantastic. So in some respects, it's a little bit of a similar process to something like Canva, if you're
absolutely
familiar with Canva. Yeah,
yeah, we like to, actually, we had an interesting discussion, and we like to compare to us VidBuild to Facebook Canva. It's kind of like the video equivalent of what Facebook Canva is, and it has become today.
Okay, cool, fantastic, and very well done, guys. How long have you been going?
Well, the business was founded in November last year, so very recently.
Very recently, okay.
And the platform itself, VidBuild, has been in beta since February.
Wow.
So not very long at all. It's all
really new, really new.
It's all been growing very quickly, so it's exciting.
And how's it going?
It's really fantastic to see the growth and support, particularly in from local businesses in and around Kent, who we've initially engaged with in the beta platform. Mm-hmm. And we're actually gearing up towards the live official release later in Q3 this year, mm-hmm. hopefully at Getty offices in London, which mm-hmm. is one of our big content providers on the platform.
Okay, fantastic. I mean, I absolutely adore innovative businesses like yours, and I think what you've brought to the local area is fantastic. I can't wait to play with it. I'm gonna have a play with it. I don't know why he mentioned hairdressers though while he was looking at me. I don't know what that was all about, but anyway, fantastic, guys, really well done. It's such an innovative product and platform, and we wish you continued and much success. If people want to find out about it, how can they get to the platform? How can they have a look at it? What's your web address?
So they can go to vidbuild.com.
Hello, Tina. It's lovely to see you again. I'm joined by Tina George, who's the marketing director of Agilis Mobile. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and lovely to see you again, and all of the winners of some of the Maidstone Business Awards.
Fantastic, isn't it? Now, Agilis Mobile are the platinum sponsors for the awards right across Kent, aren't you?
That's right, yes. We decided, when we were talking to Carol about the awards, that why not sponsor all of them? It gives us an opportunity as a company to bring our service a greater publicity, but also to get involved in what I think is very important, and that is other businesses in Kent.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of established you as part of the business community here.
I think it has, yes. What's been so great is exploring different pockets of Kent, because as you know, I'm not from Kent.
I know, we allowed you in, didn't we? You're a foreigner from Essex.
I am indeed. Yeah. So it's given me a chance to see parts of the county that I didn't know, which has been fabulous, but also connecting with businesses that I didn't know were out there. And that's been something that's been a real eye-opener, because there is so much great stuff going on in Kent.
It's amazing that, isn't it? I've been swanning around Kent for donkey's years, but still I come across businesses that I didn't know about, and I thought I knew everybody in Kent, but you keep finding businesses, and as you say, some of the most innovative businesses that you could ever come across, and you really just didn't know they were there.
I know. I think that's the thing that has really surprised me, because Kent is a vast county. Yeah. I think some of the statistics that you gave out at the dinner really made people's jaws drop as to just how much commercial activity and the value of that in the county. But when you go out to visit some of the business and you see the innovation, and I think, you know, my favourite of the night, I have to say, was the VidBuild, because that was the category that I judged. Mm. And when I went and saw that product, I actually thought, this is a game changer. Mm. And it's really something that will make a difference. Mm. And it's great to know that its launch and the way it's been encouraged across the Kent County for small business, it was great. So I get excited when I get to see businesses like that in the region. So
absolutely. And it was interesting, isn't it? Just the award winners we've spoken to today, the range of different businesses, that, you know, from yoga for littlies through to weddings, and then old people in their stair lifts, and then a complete technological breakthrough with a new platform. So a whole range of different businesses, all in one area, doing really great stuff.
Very much so. I did feel a bit of a jack-in-the-box on the night, though, and the one of the awards that I had to give out was for the hospitality, but I did make sure I read through all of the applicants. I know Tracy had made her decision, but she made such a brilliant choice with that, so well done to the Orchard Suite team. I mean, I thought that was a great business. But it's really interesting for us, as the platinum sponsor, to get involved with the judging, because I've been in business for, I'm not going to say how many years,
weeks.
But I have, and I've worked in other parts of the world, and so to come to Kent and to see some of the quality in the business that's out and around there, and I think it's important to reinforce, yes, there are the winners, but even being shortlisted is a real big boost for your business?
Absolutely. I mean, the range of entries was huge. The range of finalists was huge. The range of winners and runners-up was huge. And as we said on the night, you know, there can only be one winner in any category, but it's normally really quite difficult to choose that winner. And whilst it can be disappointing if you're, you know, feel disappointing on the night as a runner-up, but really you should be incredibly proud because there are 76,000 small businesses in Kent. So, you know, to get that far is amazing.
And I would encourage anyone, because obviously these walls are going to continue, to really take the opportunity to do something and apply for them when they're next out. Mm. I think the next one is in Ashford, yep. Sometime in November. It's really important because it does put your business on the map.
Oh, absolutely.
And you gain so much benefit from them.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Just before you go, for those that don't know, just tell us a little bit about Agilis Mobile.
Well, Agilis Mobile is an independent mobile service. We launched the service in May of last year, and we have been gaining customer traction across the county and beyond. Mm. And one of the folks that we're quite happy that's using it regularly is yourself, Paul.
I do indeed, and I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah, if anyone was going to be a tough taskmaster in terms of product delivery on what it actually says it can do, because it does.
Because I hang out in some really odd places. And I was always moaning about never getting a signal, and that's never happened since I've moved to Agilis.
Which I'm really pleased to hear about. But for us, we've touched on customer service here. For us as a team, we want to make sure that we are delivering on the customer service level. So it's a service that is for business, and it doesn't matter whether you are just a few folks or whether you're a larger organisation. Agilis Mobile has a service plan for you. I think there's so much flexibility that we can build into it because we're in control. We control the tariffs. We can take care of things on the network. So everything about the product comes back to us in our office in Westmorland.
Absolutely. And you've got a little bit of a breakthrough product of your own, of course, as well, which is Agilis Anywhere.
That's right. One of the things that we have been able to bring into our mobile service is our Agilis Anywhere, which is effectively your ability to do roaming across networks in the UK. You're all familiar with it in Europe. Well, we can actually do it with our service in the UK.
Absolutely. So I've got a phone with Agilis Anywhere on it, and basically what that does is it finds me a signal from any network that's available, so that I'm never without a network. And I got a signal once in the Sydenham Tunnel on a train going to London, and that's never happened before.
Well, I am very happy that that happened. It reinforces what we say about the product. You know, if there's a mobile signal available, then we'll get that for you on with the Agilis Anywhere.
The only drawback to that was I couldn't think who to ring to tell. I've got a signal, yeah! Who shall I ring? I don't know.
It probably, you could have phoned me.
I could have done, actually.
Could have said, hey, I'm in the Sydenham Tunnel.
Tina, I can speak to you in a tunnel. Cool, yeah. If people want to find out about Agilis Mobile, what's your website?
It's agilismobile.co.uk.
Cool, and that's Agilis, agilismobile.co.uk. Tina, thank you so much. Thank you for your support. It's really, really important that companies like yours support businesses in
Kent. There were three other award winners that were unable to join us for the interview sessions, and they are Compare and Recycle, and their website is compareandrecycle.co.uk. Love Beer, their website is love-beer.co.uk. And RS Sales, and their website is rssales.co.uk. Congratulations to all the finalists, all the winners, and we look forward to seeing you all again next year.
This is Channel 2.